Are you excited but nervous at the same time about investing in real estate? Are you confused about where to get started? Do you feel uncertain about your ability to invest in real estate because of finances, the market conditions, or not knowing enough? Hi, my name is Monica Sawyer, and I'm the host of the Real Estate Investing for Women podcast. I work with professional women on how to get started in real estate investing or grow their current portfolios. In this podcast, I will share my own strategies as well as those of many amazing experts so that you too can build wealth the blissful way. That means building wealth on your own terms, part-time, with very little stress. To get started, download your free report on my personal favorite strategy at blissfulinvestor.com.
Today, I am delighted to welcome to the show Deidre Woolard. Deidre is a writer, editor, and real estate investor. Her passion for real estate writing began when she created the first Estate of the Day column online and worked for AOL Real Estate. She later worked for Realtor.com and created the Ask a Realtor column. After that, she moved on to spend several years leading marketing departments at luxury brokerages across Los Angeles before co-founding a real estate public relations firm. She now works with the team at Million Acres, helping to provide education on a wide variety of real estate investing topics. Her passion for helping educate people on the ways that real estate helps build wealth. Hi, Deidre. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Monica. Thank you.
I just realized I screwed up the last line of your bio.
No worries.
It's so funny. I mean, that was like, her passion is for helping educate people. Before I bring Deidre on, ladies, I just want to tell you a little story. So David and I got married many years ago. You know, it's been 26 years. And in those early days, one of the things that we knew was that money was important in the world. Like, we both came from families that had open conversations about investing and money and how money worked. But we also really both had ambitions beyond what we had learned from our family. So my husband was working at a startup. We were not making very, very rich money. We were broke. We bought our very first home from $10,000 from our wedding, right? And we had so little money left, but we had these dreams. We wanted to travel. We wanted to see the world. We wanted to focus our lives on the fun of living rather than focusing so much on paying the dues when we were young so that we could live later. So we started to investigate what investing could look like, even with us, where we had so little money. At least we had bought a house, right? Both of us knew that was a good idea. But we had so little money, we were paying a mortgage. So we rented out a room in the house and we took that money and we wanted to invest it so that we could travel, we could build for our futures. And Motley Fool book had just come out the year before. So we picked up two books and David and I read together at night, every night. This is another one of those things we've been doing for 27 years, right? So before we were married, and in those early years, we were reading financial books. So Motley Fool was the very first book that we read. And it completely changed our perspective on life and money and the world. And we ended up, like, a few years later, we shut down our houses. David took a leave of absence from work. We put some backpacks on our backs and we traveled the world for 6 months. And I tell people over and over again that it started because we got a really good education. Real estate has certainly been a big piece of that. But on the stock side, this is really, this was the big influencer. So recently, I just got an email from Million Acres, which is the real estate division of Motley Fool, and they said that they just rated my blog as a top 10 blog in real estate. I quite literally screamed, jumped up and down, was clapping my hands, and my husband was like, "What is going on?" Because he's home with me right now, right? And I told him, and both of us were just so delighted. So I immediately contacted them, and that's why we're talking to Deidre today. Yay!
Hey.
Yay. So you guys have had such a huge impact on my life, so thank you.
Awesome. I think one of the reasons Million Acres exists is because we wanted to take that same idea from the Motley Fool and how it helped people and bring that to real estate, because there's so much information out there, but it's so confusing sometimes. So the same mission, but sort of translated to real estate.
Right. And that's the gift, right? Is that they made, with The Motley Fool, they made it approachable, understandable, unscary, right? We could take some action. And I know that that's where you're headed with this too. And it's so needed out there because it can be really confusing.
Well, yeah. And our goal is to make you smarter, happier, and richer, which I think, you know, we all want to be smarter, happier, and richer.
Exactly. Exactly. So tell us a little bit about how you developed a passion in real estate.
Well, yeah, I started from the journalist side, from writing about it. And through writing about it, I actually started to meet so many interesting real estate agents and brokers. And this was sort of the early days of blogging when there weren't a lot of blogs. And so the real estate agents that were getting involved in technology started reaching out to me. And it just gave me this passion for understanding real estate as a profession and realizing how hard real estate agents work and sort of understanding what the profession is like, and then seeing the ways that especially women could become entrepreneurs through real estate. And that was really inspiring to me.
Yeah. And I loved many things about sort of the conversations I've had back and forth with you and with Sarah, but Sarah was the person that reached out to me. And when I was connecting with her about who I could bring onto the show to represent Million Acres, she's started talking all about the statistics for women in real estate, which is so relevant and so important. And I think that it's really helpful for us women to understand that we're underrepresented, but it doesn't mean that we don't have this huge capacity, right?
Hmm. Well, it's interesting because one of the things that I've seen is that there's a lot of women who are in residential real estate as a career, but there aren't as many women who understand real estate investing or feel confident.
Yes.
And I think one of the things that is true for a lot of women, there was a study, this is from Harvard Business Review, that men will apply for a job when they are 100%, when they're like 60% qualified. Women won't apply until they're 100% qualified. So women, I think sometimes we have that little barrier where we feel like, I'm not sure if I know enough. I'm not sure if I can handle the risk. I feel like I need to wait on the sidelines longer. And I think that happens both in real estate leadership and in real estate investing. And so one of my passions is just encouraging people to, you know, to get out there and to put yourself forward.
Yeah, it is really, really interesting because we've had a lot of real estate agents on the show that are women and they have excelled really, really well. But investing is a completely different thing. And for whatever reason, it seems like women are more willing to go become an agent. But they see their clients invest, but they don't. I think a male agent will look at the property first if he wants it before he offers it to his clients. I've actually seen this out there because it was a mortgage broker. But the women will offer to her clients first before she makes an offer, which was interesting. It's not always true. I don't want to be over general, but I saw it a lot. I was like, why is this happening? Like, I was the only female agent that was out there actually making offers on investment properties. So it was just interesting. Could you tell us a little bit more about the statistics?
So what we did is we surveyed about 650 people and we got their opinions on real estate investing and both gender diversity and racial diversity and what people are seeing and if they feel like the situations need to change.
Okay. And then what were your results? Tell us about that.
Well, the first thing I found is interesting is that there's a little difference in how men and women invest. So our survey found that men are more likely to invest in REITs, in real estate investment trusts, whereas women are more likely to invest in rental properties. And that may be some of just a sort of a comfort level thing. It may be sometimes I feel like women are encouraged more toward owning homes versus owning commercial real estate or owning real estate investment trusts. And I'm not sure about you, but I feel like a lot of the stock advice sometimes can tend to feel a bit male skewed.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Ladies, before we get into the meat of this episode, let's have a quick word from our sponsor. If your idea of asset protection and tax mitigation is setting up a simple LLC and family trust structure, you could be leaving your business, real estate, and personal assets completely exposed. Imagine instead being able to take advantage of the bulletproof asset protection tools formerly reserved for the ultra wealthy. If you'd like to mitigate or eliminate your capital gains taxes while protecting your assets from predatory litigation, visit blissfulinvestor.com/trusts.
That's plural. There, you will find out more in a free recording with the world's foremost expert on a new kind of trust structure you've probably never heard of. This is a true generational wealth building business and personal asset protection and tax mitigation structure dating back to the founding of our country and is still used today. Just go to blissfulinvestor.com/trusts to find out more. It's free.
I was just on a class recently, just before I came on the call with you. Every single book that was recommended was by a man. And they recommended like 10 books on this show. And I thought, wow, like there's not a single book out there that's by a woman that you value. Really, that's interesting. You know, and I think that we see that in our industry a lot.
Yeah, definitely. Again, I see that on the commercial side and also the real estate investment trust. You're right. Most of the books are written by men. And I don't think women understand that, especially real estate investment trust or real estate crowdfunding are great passive investments. I mean, not that I feel, one of the things I feel is that there's no such thing really as active and passive being separate because they both require a certain level of active and passive. If you're an active investor, hopefully you're finding ways to automate or to use a property manager. You know, I loved one of your recent podcasts with Chris Ward talking about how to use automation and things like that. And I think that's important. So I think that any good investor knows that there's active and passive elements to all investments.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about what you perceive as the advantage for women in different investment strategies in real estate.
Well, I think some of it is just diversification and understanding what you need in particular time periods in your life. I think that as an investor, you don't necessarily need to be in the same types of investments at different portions of your life. If you have kids, you might not want to be, dealing with individual rental properties when your kids are little or something like that. Or when you're older, you may want REITs or something that's just providing you with like a little dividend income. You know, if you're wanting to do a short-term rentals, you may start looking let's say you want to move somewhere else, you may have that short-term rental as sort of that bridge property to get you there. So I feel like investing is something that changes throughout your life. We all go through different seasons of our lives, and real estate can be a different type of it, can be it help you with that different stage.
I love the way that you're talking about cycles of our life. It's really hitting home for me right now because I'm in a big transition. So I started very young. We first bought our first home. There have been a lot of different strategies that we've used along the way, both for stock and for real estate. But for the most part, I've had everything in appreciation. So I'm in California real estate, most of it's appreciation. And now we're changing to cash flow and more passive strategies because David and I are looking at retiring in a couple of years. So it's really, that's another one of those things that we don't talk a lot about in the show or anywhere is the cycles. And one of the things that I feel that with men, it's really about the strategy and what's going to make them money and what they're excited to learn about. And I think for women, we do need to focus a lot more on these cycles, like what fits in where and why, and shift as cycles do. Do you believe that that's true also?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's one of the reasons that we have so many female writers on Million Acres is that we've got women who are using different types of strategies throughout their lives. We've got one woman who's investing in a lot of tax notes and she's traveling the world right now. She and her husband were in Mexico, and so they own some properties. But they also invest in a variety of other things. So really, it's about what you want in your life and how real estate can help you no matter where you are and what you're doing. You know, there have been periods of time in my life when I've been more interested in owning property or periods of time in my life where I'm much more interested in something that doesn't feel quite as labor intensive.
Exactly. Tell us a little bit about what Mogul does.
So Mogul is our premium service from Million Acres. And so it works sort of like the Motley Fool. So the Motley Fool has a free site and then there's premium services that do stock recommendations and things like that. So Mogul is like that in that we do real estate recommendations for real estate investment trusts and some real estate equities. But we also do recommendations for individual real estate crowdfunded deals, those are usually for accredited investors. So you have to have a certain income to qualify for those. but then you're investing a sum of money and it is held for a period of time to do something like redevelop an office building or build an apartment complex or something like that. And then at the end of that, and you receive distributions throughout the course of the investment. And then at the end, you get your capital back plus the profits when the deal gets sold.
Got it. Okay. So Mogul really focuses on a lot of different strategies. Could you talk a little bit about some of the specific strategies that you like to recommend to ladies, like to create some sort of diverse portfolio, or how do you recommend that?
Well, I think it depends on how much money you want to spend and what kinds of things you like to do. I mean, I feel like it's one of the reasons I like real estate crowdfunding is it's especially even with something like one of the smaller Regulation A deals where you don't need to be qualified to be accredited investor, you can still invest like a couple thousand dollars in like a REIT that develops certain types of properties. I think it's exciting, but I think also diversification is important. One of the things with rental properties or fix and flips is it can be a lot of pressure. And so diversification, the gift of that to me is that it takes a little bit of that pressure off. I like to, the same way with stock investing, I like to have my money in different sectors because different sectors perform differently at different times. I mean, one of the things that I've seen this year with, obviously we've been studying what's happening with the COVID-19 pandemic and real estate, and you can see that it's certain sectors are doing really well and certain sectors aren't doing well. You know, if it's if hotels and malls and things like that aren't doing well, but you're watching warehouses, self-storage, data centers, those things are doing really well.
Mm-hmm. Could you tell us a little bit more about how REITs work? I don't think I've had somebody come on to the show and actually talk about that.
Oh, I love talking about REITs.
Yeah.
I do. They're kind of my favorite. So a REIT is a real estate investment trust, and it works, so most of them are publicly traded. You know, you could buy it like a stock, but it's a little bit different than a stock because they have to pay out 90% of their income, so they have to pay you dividends. So one of the reasons people like them in retirement accounts is because you get dividends every, most of them are quarterly, but there are a couple of REITs that pay monthly dividends. And so you can hold them in a retirement account, which is really nice because that way you're not taxed on those dividends. You can hold them in like a Roth IRA or something like that. And that's a great way to grow your retirement portfolio.
So go back. They have to pay 90% of their, what did you just say there?
Their income.
Of their income, right? Why do you explain that?
So it's a little bit different than a stock because the REIT is basically holding real estate. So it's not like a, so you don't look at the earnings per share as much. And so they move a little bit more slowly than stocks. Another piece of research we did was just looking at how REITs versus stocks performed over time. And we found that over 20 years, REITs will outperform the S&P 500. Hasn't been true the last year. Last year, the S&P 500 has outperformed REITs. And especially this year, because tech stocks have been zooming, and including Zoom, and real estate has not been doing so well because of the pandemic and because of how many things were closed, which actually makes now a really good time because a lot of those real estate investment trusts are kind of undervalued for what they are.
Got it. Where would you look for those?
So Million Acres, we have a whole section on REITs, but really you can just, they're part of the stock market. So you can start looking at things like malls, like Simon Property Group is like the biggest mall REIT. And so you can look at malls, you can look at, there's medical health, there's Empire State Realty Trust, which owns the Empire State Building. I mean, there's really, REITs kind of underlie so much of the real estate in the United States. It's really fascinating. You can invest in warehouses. There's a REIT called Prologis, which is basically the biggest warehouse REIT. And so like Amazon is their huge customer. So
Got it. So would you go on, so for instance, Schwab or Fidelity or whatever, and look for REITs? Is that what you would put in there?
Yeah. They're just like regular stocks.
So interesting. I had no idea about that. And I do this stuff, right? Like I didn't even know about it. I mean, I knew about REITs, but I hadn't done enough research to really know very much about them. And you talk about them on Million Acres, yeah?
Oh, yeah. We a lot of our stories are on REITs. And we do a lot of talking about particular sectors. So that's one of the things that even within REITs, which is a sort of a sector, there are different sectors. So there are all those different categories. And that's one of the things that makes it really exciting.
Nice. I love that. And it's so accessible and so easy and it is pretty darn passive, right? It's as passive as you might say with stock, right? You need to do the initial research and that.
Yeah. So one of the things, one of the people at Motley Fool got me into was this idea of, it's going to sound a little dorky, but I journal my investments. So because so much of the stock market's emotional and you see the market go up and down and it's very easy to get caught up in that. So when I'm thinking about a new investment, I actually write down why I want to invest in it, what I think about it. And then, quarterly, usually when the earnings come out, I'm such a dork. I love to listen to the earnings calls. I like to hear the voices, hear the people, answering the questions. But then I kind of go back to that journal entry and it's like, okay, did everything that I believed about that company 3 months ago, is that still true? Do I still feel the same way? And that's just sort of like a check-in. So I'm still, it's passive, but it's not completely passive.
So you bring up a really, really good point. And I think that this is worth a deeper conversation. When we talk about passive does not mean necessarily, at least in my, a set it and forget it. You set it for a certain amount of time and you revisit it because things change. The economy changes, your needs change, the investment changes, the way the market's moving changes, regardless of the economy, like it might be, like you were saying, different industries. Different industries or investment types, they change, right? Mm-hmm. So things change. And so set it and forget it means you're not tinkering with it all the time. But you should have a period of time that you have set for yourself that you're going to reevaluate what you've invested in. So for David and I, it is a quarterly thing. So we do it just like you do, Deidre. For my father-in-law, for instance, he does it once a year. For my dad, he does it once a month. Right. So you kind of look at, it's not like they're constantly tinkering. It's not like they're buying and selling and paying commissions and, they're not doing all that stuff, but they're reevaluating their portfolio and their investments at a designated period of time. So that is what I consider passive investing. You're not just letting it go. Right.
Exactly. And it also, it helps take the emotion out of it. I mean, the thing that I see with the stock market, especially right now, is just people get so wrapped up in trying to, I want to buy the bottom. I want to get in at the lowest rate and I want to sell at the highest. It's a great idea in theory, but it's not really practice and it's not really practical. What you really want to do is spend most of your time. It's sort of like in real estate, how people always say when you make your money when you buy. Same thing is true with a real estate investment trust or any stock. You spend the time on the research. And if you trust the company, you look at the management, you trust everything that they're doing, you see the vision, those check-ins are just check-ins. They're not like panic moments. And when the market is doing something weird and your stock went way down, you don't panic because you've already made your decision. You trust that company.
Right.
I think that's really important, is to kind of find those ways. Because I'm an emotional person and I want to find those ways to make myself feel confident. That's one of the reasons that if I am feeling that way, I do make a note in the journal and talk about that, get it out of my head. So I'm not thinking about what the stock market did yesterday and making myself nervous over it and trusting myself. I feel like that's one of the ways you can learn to trust yourself more, which I think is really important, especially for women in investing.
Yeah. So much of the time I've said and been told, reminded by my husband, if it wasn't a good investment when you got it, just check that it's still a good investment and you don't lose money till you sell. So if the market has done crazy things, just check in. Is this still a good investment? If you're talking about a REIT, do you still trust this company? Do you still trust this product? Do you still trust the team? Right? And then over time it will recover, right? Same with stocks, same with real estate. If you decide that something has changed in the foundation of that decision, now you can reevaluate. But you don't lose money till you sell. So that sort of freak out mentality and, oh my gosh, everything's gone down, so let's sell everything because I don't want to lose any more money, that's going to get you into trouble, right? The other thing that I learned, because I was a heavy stock investor early on, was this term in stock investing, don't try to catch a falling knife. Have you heard this one? Yeah.
Yeah.
Trying to catch the bottom, you'll get bloody every single time. That's a terrible analogy, but it's really, really hard to catch the bottom. What you want to do is catch it when it makes good business sense.
Exactly. Yeah, definitely. And I think that's it. It's also a lot of people will get out and then try to get back in. And that is a really, really bad idea. Sometimes you just have to ride out the bottom. So, because otherwise you're going to miss that return. You're not going to catch the upswing, essentially.
It's too hard to time it. It just is.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like in any type of real estate investing. If you're buying and selling houses, a lot of people try to think, they try to time the market. And one of the things that I've always heard real estate agents say to their clients too is you don't time the market, you time your life.
Yes. Oh, I love that. I'm going to use that one because it's really true. And real estate is cyclical and it's long-term, right? So when does it fit into your life? Oh, and here's one other thing around that. You time your life, but understand there's never a right time.
I like that.
My husband and I, we were so broke when we bought our first place and we like scraped up all our money. You know, it wasn't a good time for us to own. We wanted to travel the world. Our dreams were not about owning a home. However, we knew that it made financial sense, so it became a priority, right? And we didn't feel ready. But thank goodness we did it, right? So it's kind of, I tell women all the time, it's kind of like having kids. Some women really wanted kids. They wanted kids, and so it was great, right? But for most people, I know at least this was my experience, there was never a right time to have kids. Eventually, you just have to decide, this is what I want, and just do it, whether it's the right time or it doesn't feel like the right time, or if you feel ready or not. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Life will happen. Life will continue to happen. And that's one of the things people do. They try to line up the, is this the right time? Yes, no. And, you know, sometimes you have to go with what your will is and then use your mind to supplement your will, essentially.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you for bringing up that conversation. I love what you said about time. So could you tell us, Deidre, what we're going to be talking about in Extra? I'm really excited about this.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about real estate crowdfunding. So I touched a little bit on it, but we're going to kind of dive into it and explain what it is and whether or not it might be right for you.
Yay. So we've had one guest come onto this show talking about crowdfunding. Many of you ladies loved him. Did not pursue crowdfunding, though, was a report that I kind of got back. So I'm not sure whether it is because you weren't interested or because it was confusing or whatever. So I wanted to make sure that we gave you more information on that. So when Deidre mentioned that, I thought it would be a great idea. So that's what we're going to be talking about in Extra. But before we close out this show, Deidre, could you tell people how they can reach you?
Sure. So they can go on to millionacres.com. That is our main site. And our Instagram is millionacres. I'm on Twitter at my first name. So it's just Deidre, D-I-D-R-E. And Facebook is millionacres. So yeah, I'm out there.
Good. Hey, and I know that you have a free gift for my ladies. Could you tell us about that?
Yeah, we have a real estate investing ebook, and it really is essentially looking at all of the different ways that you can invest. And it also touches on things that we don't like to talk about, like taxes, but also like 1031 exchanges and things like that. So it's really a great sort of like basic overview from, and it's some of the best writing from a lot of our writers. So I'm excited about that one.
Nice. Thank you so much for that. That's really great. So are you ready for our three rapid fire questions?
All right, let's do it.
Great. So Deidre, tell us one super tip on getting started investing in real estate.
Well, I've talked about them, so I'm going to have to say it's REITs. You know, just you can buy a REIT for not a lot of money. You can spend a couple hundred dollars and get a few shares of a REIT. And that's a great way to just kind of dip your toes into real estate, especially if you haven't done that before. So I would encourage people to really look at REITs as a way to get started in real estate.
I love that. And then what is one strategy on being successful in real estate investing?
I would say it is absolutely keeping track and finding a great way to have a spreadsheet or have a journal or have something that you're really checking in with yourself over time. You know, some people like to use like Excel and pivot tables. Some people like to have an old school journal, but whatever you do, what you measure, that's what grows. So definitely keep track and really measure everything.
Thank you for that. And what would you say, Deidre, is one daily practice that you do that contributes to your personal success?
I would say it's probably the Pomodoro technique, which is that idea of blocking off time. So I really like that idea of blocking off time to do certain things, because I think a lot of us get so distracted. So if I'm going to be looking at an investment or reading an earnings report, I don't want to have my Slack pinging me or something like that. I want to dive in. And I think a lot of times, especially for women, we're natural multitaskers, but finding places where you can really focus on your investing in a really deep and intense way is important. And I think that our financial health, as important as our emotional health, our spiritual health, our physical health, and giving it that attention, that respect, and that love is really important.
Thank you for that. Deidre, before we sign off, is there anything else you'd like to say that we missed or a message you'd like to leave the ladies with?
I think the message is just really educate yourself and understand that education can come from a variety of places and that there's no one way to do things right and to just experiment, you know, read everything you can, create books, blogs, listen to podcasts, and then do. It's so, I think, that, you know, you call that like analysis paralysis, and I think that can happen. That's happened to me a lot. So just do, you know, spend a little bit of money and try something. See what happens.
Yay. Thank you for that. So ladies, we have more coming. We're going to be talking about crowdfunding. So if you're subscribed to Extra, please stay tuned. We've got more. If not, but you would like to subscribe to Extra, please go to realestateinvestingforwomenextra.com. That's realestateinvestingforwomenextra.com. And you get the first 7 days for free. So you can get this episode, you can get a ton of other episodes and binge as much as you like. And then you can decide if you want to stay subscribed or not. So that's realestateinvestingforwomenextra.com. For those of you who are leaving, Deidre and I now, thank you so much for joining us today. And I look forward to seeing you next time. And until then, remember, goals without action are just dreams. So get out there, take action, and create the life your heart deeply desires. I'll see you soon. Bye.
Thank you again for joining me on the Real Estate Investing for Women podcast. If you love this show, please subscribe, rate, and review it on iTunes. As women, we need to support and empower each other to build wealth and live joyful lives. Your support of this podcast by subscribing, rating, and reviewing it will help other women just like you learn about building blissful wealth through investing. And remember to download your free report so you can get started on your investing journey at blissfulinvestor.com. See you next time.